You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes and Mike Johnson, one of the newest members of the Colorado Avalanche. That still sounds weird. Mm-hmm. Nazem Kadri will join us in about 5 minutes. And I want to ask him, if he had an opportunity to sit down with Kawhi Leonard, would he campaign for Kawhi to sign with the Raptors or with the Denver Nuggets? Like, do you immediately have to start spinning the I'm a Denver super fan?
Broncos are your team.
Right. Because that's the always the thing, right? Because
they
I play
got Jamal
there.
Murray on there, so I mean, you get a little Canada that's content true. Out of it. Highest paid Canadian athlete in the history of Canada.
That was under the radar.
That barely got a word in.
Well, because, you know, it's been all about the free agents and where they're going.
Yeah, where restricted guys.
Jamal Murray locks in like a max deal. Ben Simmons in Philly. Damian Lillard signed a monster in Portland.
He got the $50 million a year.
Oh, yeah. By the end of that deal, it's like $54 million
a year. That is amazing. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed.
And, you know, that's great for those cities, too, because it's not about L.A. and New York and Miami and Chicago. It's Damian Lillard's like, I'm not leaving Portland. He could. He could say, I want to team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis down the road, or Durant and Kyrie Irving or whatever, although that may not make sense.
That might be the greatest long-term disappointment if Kawhi goes to L.A., having that super team back.
Changes the whole landscape.
The whole dynamic of the sport.
Yeah, how you feel about it, how it's like a formality.
The interest in watching it and the drama that could unfold.
Yeah. And for those of you that have been living under a rock the past, like, 3 hours, the belief is Kawhi Leonard flew into Toronto, flew into Pearson earlier this afternoon on the MLSE jet, and then jumped in a couple of trucks with multiple people, made their way down to a hotel in Yorkville, and I guess he's still in there. I don't know. Maybe he's out the back door and he left like an hour ago. Who knows?
He arrived at the hotel at around
probably 3:30 in the 3 p.m. hour?
I was at home still, so it was 3 o'clock-ish.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I don't know how long these meetings take. A couple hours. I mean,
I just don't know what the meeting is.
Like, what's exactly.
What's
if they're
the
having
meeting
a meeting, they're not selling them. They're not giving them any more information. They don't have a PowerPoint. He lives here.
You know
he knows what this is.
You know exactly what the Raptors are all about. There's no negotiation.
You get the max. You get whatever you want. You get a 1-1.
Whatever you want.
You get a 5. You get a 4. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Tell us the numbers. We'll pay you as much as you're allowed to get paid. That's what you get.
Yeah.
So that doesn't take 2 hours.
No, it doesn't. That's a foregone conclusion.
And if it's a bad meeting where I'm going to be extremely generous with my time and polite to come say no in person, that also doesn't take 2 hours.
If that's what's happening here, he flew up here just because he's got so much respect for Masai Ujiri and the Raptors. It's not a moral victory. It's not going to mean anything because ultimately there's going to be disappointment here because that means he's decided to go somewhere else. But it will say something about Kawhi Leonard.
A solid move.
Like, it would be a shocking gesture.
Not sure if I would do that.
No. Like, this isn't like he lives in Buffalo and he said, okay, I'll drive up for the afternoon.
Zip over for 5.5 hour flight.
Five-plus-hour flight, and, you know, everyone's trying to figure out how it leaked that he was on this plane and that it got to Pearson, and I don't think that wasn't the team. Like, someone tracked the flight plan, but where the meeting is, like, at the hotel in Yorkville, there are people waiting for him down there. That I don't quite understand. How did that get out that they were...
Masai was reported to have been there.
Right, so someone saw him.
Someone connected two and two.
That's easy. And that's not Masai's problem or fault. What are you supposed to do?
The chance of the Raptors leaking something now is zero. You're going to run a marathon, get to the last 10 steps, and then leak it out. Do the one thing that the guy you're recruiting doesn't want you to do. It's no chance.
No chance. You're right. It's a very simple logistical plan here that played out.
Yeah.
Someone connected the dots. There's a flight coming in. Masai and Bobby Webster are already in Toronto, so that means Kawhi's on the plane.
Somebody else is coming from L.A. Yes.
Someone's coming from L.A., and although Twitter has been Generally, it's a cesspool, but it's actually been hilarious today because a lot of people were wondering, is it Dion Phaneuf on that plane?
I heard a little bit of that.
Like, Phaneuf was trending online because someone tweeted out, I'm hearing it's Dion Phaneuf on that plane.
I read that.
And he's returning to Toronto.
I quite enjoyed that.
That would be outstanding. Some people were saying Paul Marner is the one who's on the plane. For whatever reason, the Marner camp was in L.A., and now they're flying up here to lock in a deal, I guess. But... you know, if you know that he's flying in or you believe he's flying in and then you spot Masai Ujiri walking in somewhere, you're going to connect the dots. I mean, is it crazy? Is it sensational? Is it outrageous? Is it ridiculous in some ways? Yes. But I would urge people in Toronto, throughout the province, throughout the country, if you're a Raptor fan, whether you've been a fan for 24 years, 5, 10 years, or you jumped on the bandwagon this spring, embrace this because you're still in the running for maybe the best player in the world. He's here to meet with your team, and I think it's because he's here to say, let's lock in a deal. I don't see why you would fly up here to say no. Doesn't make sense
to
me.
No, it could happen, but it would be far less likely than the opposite.
Yes.
And I think that's something to cling to right now, which is all that Toronto fans and people
city. Until it's official, that's all you can do.
There is no viable, reliable information coming out, so you can just go on what you have. And some of that is logic.
Yeah.
What is logically happening?
Well, and that's, again, what makes, I think, like the scene, the kind of Hollywood craziness that took place when he flew in and the CP-24 helicopter and people tracking him downtown and people lining up outside the hotel is because ever since he left Toronto and flew down to Barbados, and then people, you know, there were pics that came out of him on vacation, we haven't seen him. We haven't heard from him. We know he's been in L.A. the past 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But no pictures have come out. TMZ couldn't find him. Nobody just walking down the street was like, hey, there's Kawhi. I'm going to snap a pic.
Yeah.
There's been no information from Kawhi about Kawhi. It's been 100% speculation. And now all of a sudden, he's here. But in typical Kawhi fashion, it's not confirmed that it's definitely him that was on that plane and in these trucks on the way down.
I love the fact that he's been able to pull it off to this level.
I give him all the credit in the world.
To this point in the procedures that it's still a guessing game and nobody but he knows.
Like all these insiders, Wojnarowski.
Where's Woj?
Chirania.
Woj bomb drops on every single thing that happens in the NBA.
They are sitting there, I think, like you and I, and just refreshing Twitter. Like, I'm sure they're reaching out to their sources, clearly, but none of them had a source that indicated he was getting on the plane to begin with to fly up here.
Nope.
That didn't break last night. That didn't break the Kawhi. Like, we don't even know when he met with the Clippers and the Lakers. We just believe that he did.
Yeah, we're not even that sure. Magic Johnson alluded to some conversations that...
with him, but not with
not
the
with
team.
The team. And the Clippers, we assume that he met with, but...
We haven't heard anything. Wouldn't that be amazing if after all this it comes out, he never even met with other teams? He's just been hanging out in L.A. and getting his stuff together. And
getting his bearings after a long year.
It was always going to be the Raptors, and he's flying up now, and that's it. And all of this reporting and rumors and everything means nothing.
It's July 4th tomorrow.
Yeah.
Feels like he should do it today. No? Like, feels like if he's going to make a decision.
I would think
so. If it's not today, then it's probably Friday?
I would assume in the next 24 hours something's going to happen.
Feels like it.
You know, again, he's under no obligation.
No.
He can do whatever he wants. These teams are going to wait for him. You know, if it leaks into the summer, they're waiting for
poker him. Poker terms, pot committed to this process. They're not
fully
going
pot committed.
Yes.
The Lakers and the Clippers and the Raptors are not going to pull out of the pursuit. So, you know, he holds all the cards. He's the most powerful man in the league right now. That's got to be incredibly intoxicating.
I like that. That'd be great.
I would just milk that like you've never seen.
You'd be touring all 30 teams.
I'd be going to every team, even teams without cap space. I'd be like, I'm coming in.
Well, just wine and dine me.
Yeah, I'm coming in.
I'm going to compare private jets.
Right. All right, we got the newest member of the Colorado Avalanche. That sounds weird.
Yeah.
Been in Toronto for 10 years, drafted, developed, played a long time.
Grew up here.
Here is Nazem Kadri on Overdrive. How does that sound, Nazem, that you're a Colorado Avalanche? Is that kind of sunk in yet or what?
Definitely sounds weird for sure, but it's something I'm definitely not used to.
Well, we've been talking about Kawhi, and I'm sure you're aware of this, that, you know, the belief is he's in Toronto or whatever. If you got a chance to meet with him this afternoon, would you campaign for him to sign with the Raptors, or would you campaign for him to sign with the Denver Nuggets?
You know what? That's a tricky question. At this point, I enjoyed watching Kawhi so much. I, you know, probably try to recruit him to the Nuggets, but you know, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. So I'm hoping the best for the Raps.
Okay, that's a quick turn.
We'll take that.
All right, Nazem, if you're talking to Kawhi Leonard, you've been here 10 years, and you've seen the team go through some struggles. You yourself has kind of grown and matured and turned into a man and an adult here. What are the good parts about playing in Toronto, and what potentially are some of the tougher parts about playing in Toronto when you're a star athlete?
Yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to every situation, but, I mean, Toronto obviously is a great fan base with educated and you know, fun fans to be around, and it's a great city, a great sports town. You know, they support their athletes and their teams, and obviously the perks around the city aren't too bad either, but you know, that being said, you know, some of the cons, obviously it's a high pressure situation. You're under the microscope. You know, privacy is limited, but, you know, honestly, I was willing to sacrifice all that just to play in a great market and in an A1 class organization.
I always felt like you channeled that celebrity, that popularity. You know, Leaf fans loved the way you played. And your whole journey of being a 7th overall pick, Team Canada player, and a guy who finally came up. When you came up, you made a big impact. We all remember, you know, Hockey Night and Don Cherry bringing you on the show and all that kind of stuff. Was that actually the case? I mean, did playing in a city like Toronto and what it represents, did that somehow kind of boost your game and motivate you that much more?
Well, I think it did. I mean, you know, it takes a special type of player to play in a market like Toronto and to succeed in a market like Toronto. So, you know, I think, you know, I was able to kind of put the distractions aside and focus on what I really had to do. I mean, not saying it was all, you know, rainbows and butterflies all the time. There were some hard times that you really, you know, had some self-doubt and had to battle through adversity. But, you know, I was always, you know, pretty mentally tough and able to, you know, to just move forward.
Naz, I was a Toronto kid. I played here 4 years. I was traded away. I found those next couple of days quite difficult. You had a bit of an idea that a trade might be coming. You'd been talking to the organization previously to the trade to Colorado. Just what the last couple of days have been like for you personally on an emotional level, your family, your parents, you took great pride in representing the Toronto Maple Leafs, wearing that jersey. What's it been like kind of knowing that's not going to happen anymore?
You know, it's hard for sure. It was an emotional time. And, you know, the last few days were, you know, it was a bit overwhelming because, you know, I'd only been, you know, traded once before in my entire career. And that was, you know, in junior, and I was being traded to my hometown team. So it didn't even feel like a trade. So, you know, this is something that was out of my comfort zone, but, you know, that being said, moving on to an organization like Colorado and seeing their future and seeing the players that I could be paired up with, you know, certainly makes it, you know, it's never going to be easy, but certainly makes it easier.
With Nazem Kadri, when Tavares signed here last summer, did you think this could be a possibility at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, being here 10 years, it's not the first time I ever heard my name come up in trade talks. And, you know, I never really let that bother me or, you know, I kind of, you know, just tried to brush it aside every time I heard something like that. But I really started to get the notion that it might become serious in the last, you know, week or two. So I tried to just mentally prepare myself. But, you know, emotionally, you know, my heart's with Toronto. And, you know, I've been here for so long that, you know, it's hard to say goodbye. But, it's, you know, I'm being put in a fortunate situation, and, you know, Joe Sakic and the Avalanche have a great thing going on over there. So, you know, hopefully we'll see the Buds in the finals.
Well done. Nicely done. Now, you are in Colorado now. Can you just walk us through the logistics? I think you had a 10-team no-trade list, widely rumored, you know, deal with Calgary and whether that went through or not. When do you put in your list of 10 teams that you don't want to be traded to? Is that done in the fall, or does the team ask you just when they start entertaining the offers? Like, how do you exercise that right?
Well, I mean, you just try to take as much time as you need and, you know, basically, you know, feel out signings. And, you know, it's tough with the RFAs and the UFA situation to, you know, ballpark the salary cap. But you do the best you can. And, mm-hmm. you know, you try to submit your list every year before July 1st. And, you know, really try to strategize to give yourself the best opportunity if you decide to move on, or to maybe, you know, make it as difficult as possible to be moved, because, you know, ultimately this is the place that I wanted to stay. But like I said, I submitted my list. Colorado was a place that I could definitely see myself in, and, you know, I'm excited for the future.
With Nazem Kadri, you're going to step in there and play a big role. Joe Sakic was asked about your history here in Toronto, and specifically, you know, we know your rap sheet, if we can call it that, the suspensions and what's happened the past two springs against Boston. He had a pretty good line. He said, as long as we don't play Boston, you're going to be fine in the playoffs.
He'd probably be happy to play Boston in the playoffs.
That means you're in the cup final, exactly. But
exactly.
What was it about, you know, the Bruins? Was it the Bruins in particular in your history? You were on that team in 13, obviously, in Game 7, and we all know you scored. I think you scored the 4-1 goal, to be honest. But take us through, you know, the suspensions and how it got to that point.
I mean, well, yeah, I'll always, you know, you guys know I'm what type of player I am, and, you know, I have my heart on my sleeve, and, you know, I'm a heart and soul guy, which, and I play on the edge, and, you know, I play with a lot of passion and emotion, and, you know, sometimes that can get the best of you, but obviously, you know, I like to stand up for my teammates, and I'll do anything for my team. You know, looking back on it, you know, obviously I wish it could have went a lot different. You know, because I did feel like I had, you know, a serious impact in that series, you know, prior to what happened. But it's just one of those things, man, where you just get too passionate, and, you know, I want to protect my teammates and stand up for them. And, you know, it just was an unfortunate situation, but I don't think that had anything to do with, you know, my future in Toronto.
So now that you are heading down to Colorado, a decade, Naz, you've been here, you know, what's your reflective moments? What are you going to take away from your time as a Toronto Maple Leaf?
You guys might be on the phone for a while if I get into that. But like you said, man, it's a decade. That's a long time. Toronto's always going to be somewhere that's you know, that's home for me and close to my heart. But, you know, time goes on, and this is a sport where, you know, business comes before that sort of thing. So I understand there's no hard feelings, but, you know, just watching the team evolve, you know, being on it for years, seeing the players coming in and out, the managers, the coaches, where we've, you know, where we were in the cellar to where we are now, I think it's pretty remarkable. You know, all the outdoor games, playoff series, it's, you know, it's endless good memories and some I'm always going to cherish.
So you're going to a good team, man. Like Colorado, they're a good team.
You got
to
step on the bike work, Naz. You know what that thin air is like when you play out there. Right. You better be ready.
What's that
going to
be like?
I think it's going to be fun. That's, like I said, that's, you know, obviously a few days after I'd heard, it was very difficult for me. But, you know, then it started to resonate and sink in, and I started thinking about the positives and, you know, just Colorado's organization, how, you know, how highly they spoke of me with Joe Sakic and Jerry behind the bench. You know, they're beyond excited to have me, and, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, it feels good to be wanted, and, you know, I'm going to give them everything I have, and they know that.
When John Tavares arrived, you did what you were asked to do and did it as willingly as you could. It was play third line center, different role, different opportunity, ice time, all that. You're coming off of 230 goal seasons in a row, and they brought in a guy who kind of bumped you down the roster. How difficult was that, and how excited are you now to go to Colorado, where you're very likely to be back as a top two centerman playing the kind of quality ice you had the previous couple of years?
Definitely. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's where I belong, and where most people think I belong. But, you know, I just, they did what they had to do. If, you know, if a player like JT was on the market and you had, you know, the ability to acquire a talent like that, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. So, you know, I got, like I said, I got no hard feelings. JT's my guy. I wish, you know, him and, you know, the team the best of success, and I'm always going to be watching and rooting for him. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't win, things have to change, and, you know, they definitely did.
You guys are going to be rolling through Toronto pretty early into the season.
Do you know the day? You must know the day.
December 4th.
I
love it. December 4th, back at Scotiabank.
Nice.
Would you, if you could pick, sure you'd rather both, but if you could pick one to get a huge reaction out of the crowd, because it's going to be all about you when you come back here, would you rather score a goal that night or throw a monster hit mid-ice?
You know what, man? That's a tough one. It depends who I'm lining up. If it's like Mitch coming through the middle or something, I'm definitely gonna, you know, try to give him a give him a little shoulder. But mm-hmm. I'll definitely take the goals. And like I said, it's gonna be an emotional time for me to come back. And you know, that's not something I've experienced a lot in my career. But you know, this is new territory for me. So like I said, I'm always one to adapt and adjust to new situations. And this is just another one of those things.
Well, we wish you nothing but success and the best of luck going forward with the adjustment. I mean, you're going to be back on that second line. I think most people expect you'll continue to put up big, big numbers. And we look forward to having you back in Toronto early December. And I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you, Nazem.
All right, guys. No problem. Appreciate it.
There's Nazem Kadri. Would you
December
think?
4th.
December 4th. He's well aware.
He's well aware. You know what?
You can tell he's still reflecting a little bit.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Like it cuts you a little bit.
Big time.
Deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy who invested a lot of himself in this market and in this team and the way he played for them, he wasn't just kind of a guy playing pro hockey. He was playing for the Leafs. I think there's a difference there. And it would hurt that much more to move on when you're that invested in what's happening. So he knows he's going to a good situation. For him, personally, the good situation doesn't make it feel any better the last few days.
Right. But I do think that's important, is that at some point it's going
when you turn the page, when you're finally able to emotionally turn the page.
And that team wants you.
You like what that page says. You're like, okay, you know what? I can get on with this. It's not like you're going
that
somewhere
team wants
where
you.
Yeah. That team wants you, and they're good.
Yes.
Because if you're going to somewhere that someone wants you, but they're terrible, you're still looking in the rearview mirror the whole time. Where are the Leafs in the standings?
Right.
What's JT got? Are they in the first round? Oh, my God, they're in the second round of playoffs. Do I want to go home yet? Like, these are thoughts I had when I went to Tampa. I'm going to be the guy they traded to get the piece that puts them over the top to win a cup.
Well, they went to a conference final, didn't they? Or no, you were on that 99 team.
Yeah, but after I got traded in 02, they went to the conference final, lost to O in Carolina.
Right.
And all I kept thinking was, Darcy Tucker's the guy who gives them the cup. God, it's going to be painful to watch. That is going to be a tough watch.
That is going to be painful.
I know a little bit what he's going through, but once he gets down to Colorado, gets himself settled, gets his family wired in, gets on the ice, then it'll be not business as usual because it's nothing quite like playing for him in Toronto, but he'll be all right.
You're never going to get that again. You know, unless he plays in Montreal or...
But not even.
But
he spent from 18 to 28, whatever he is.
And he was a guy that, you know, was he polarizing at times because of his actions? Yes. But there weren't too many people in the city that didn't like him as a player.
No.
You know, like, we threw this out yesterday, the idea of whose legacy will hold up better or more firmly over time, Gardner or Kadri. And for me, it's Kadri every day of the week.
For like, that reason.
Yes.
Not necessarily that, relatively speaking, was Nas that much better than Jake.
No, both good
players.
They're
probably around the same. Both
around
really
same.
Good.
Yeah.
But what Nas brought in that emotion and the intensity and the grittiness.
Scored goals, got fights.
And letting the crowd embrace him and him embracing the crowd back. He was just more available emotionally as a player, and I think that will resonate and stay with people.
Very much so. And the fact that he was drafted here, developed
homegrown
here.
All the way.
Gardner was acquired via trade.
Somewhat local player.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
OHL guy, played for Canada at the World Juniors. So, I mean, well, listen, his career, he's still in his prime.
Wish him well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think he'll do well in Colorado. And again, it's not like this is just a roster dump or you're a piece and they're going to wave you and buy you out. Joe Sakic was like, we want this guy.
They gave up a top flight defenseman and were willing to eat half that guy's salary and gave up a good young player that has cost control to get you.
To get him, not Callie Rosen in the third pick.
No.
To get Nazem Kadri. Yeah, so that, I think that, when that, the dust settles, that should be a gratifying.
Remind yourself of that.
Absolutely. Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter, is going to be in studio. We'll get his take on what's up with Kawhi Leonard.
Is they have the meeting yet?
I guess it's Something's going on.
They must be in a boardroom. They're not in the restaurant, obviously. They need privacy.
No.
They're in a suite or a boardroom?
They're
in a suite.
They got to be in a suite.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking maybe they would do rooftop, but with the helicopters out now, you're not going to You're not going to do that.
They have a rooftop there.
They might not.
They got patio.
You can find
something. They got street level.
Yeah.
Not that I know, but.
You've been.
I know.
It's not your first rodeo down there. So Josh will join us in studio. We'll get you more of an update on what's up with Kawhi. What could it mean, the fact that he's flown up here on the MLSC jet to have a meeting with the Raptors?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Lewenberg in studio next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes and Mike Johnson. Marcellus Wiley will join us in the next hour from L.A., massive Clipper fan. And Kawhi Leonard watch continues. He's in Toronto. He's down in Yorkville. Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter, has been called into action up here in studio. What's your read on
They couldn't fit me in the helicopter, right. So I had to come to Scarborough instead.
That was going
to
be the move. That was the plan, to get you up in the helicopter.
Yeah, I'm afraid of heights. So.
Okay. What's your read on this situation? The fact that Kawhi has flown up here on MLSC's plane. We believe he's meeting with Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster right now. What's going on here?
Well, nobody knows, and I mean, that's been the story for the last several days. The Raptors, like the Clippers and the Lakers, probably to a lesser extent, are keeping things pretty close to the vest because those are Kawhi's requests. Don't leak anything. Keep the recruitment process private. If anything, he's testing them to see how private they're able to keep all of this. But in terms of what this means, I mean, we don't know exactly what it means. He could be meeting with them. He could be locking down a deal. We don't know. But I find it hard to believe that this could be a bad thing. Like, to me, no matter what, this seems to be a good sign. I think at minimum, it means that he's still seriously considering the Raptors, right? Because I can't imagine why he would fly 5-6 hours to sit down with Masai Ujiri and say, thanks, but no thanks. They could have done that in L.A.
Right, exactly. Like, and there's no pitch. The pitch has happened for 12 months.
Yeah.
Like, there's a pitch with the Clippers. There's a pitch with the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard is
there
not going
no
to learn anything
info
new.
To be gathered.
There's no more information. You've lived it. You've played it. You know everybody.
That's why you make the trade if you're Masai Ujiri. So you don't have to make the pitch.
Exactly.
I mean, they wouldn't have been given the opportunity to even make the pitch if they didn't make the trade.
They're the Memphis Grizzlies if he goes somewhere else.
And they're kind of already playing with house money to begin with, because when they made the trade, they were hopeful that it got to this point, that it could somehow, if the stars aligned, they could get to this point where he would seriously entertain staying. But they knew that was unlikely. No, the unlikely has happened, but here they are. So I'm with you. Logically, it doesn't seem like it would be terrible news that he would be here.
Logically, it says he's coming up to sign. Like, let's just say what everyone in the city is thinking, but they're afraid to jinx it. You don't fly up here on the team's plane when you don't have to just say no or to take a meeting.
When you're going to be leaving the place that you will be signing with in like 12 hours.
I've seen some people suggest, like, oh, maybe he's here to pick up his boxes. I think he has people that can come up here and pick up his boxes if he wanted to leave.
Like, you know, again, we don't have the information, so I'm not saying I know or I can guarantee it, but I think
he's not picking up his boxes. Right now.
That is a guarantee. And I will also guarantee you he is not changing his mind because people are standing outside that hotel room.
No, I mean,
nobody.
They could have had this meeting anywhere in the world. And both parties, obviously, would have had to agree and be okay with it being in downtown Toronto, where, let's face it, they know there's going to be attention. Maybe they didn't realize there'd be a helicopter chasing them, but they knew there would be eyes on them. Why? Because they were at the parade, same as we were.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard was at that parade. He saw what went on there. He knows he's a big deal in this city, and why wouldn't he be? He is arguably the best player in the NBA. He's arguably the best pro athlete the city has ever had. If he's not, he's certainly close to it.
Mm-hmm.
He won the Raptors their first ever championship, and now he holds their future in his hands. So, yeah, he's a pretty big deal here, and yeah, people are pretty Kawhi crazy right now.
And that's a reasonable take. Again, if it's all about privacy, which is incredibly important, they could have met in New Orleans.
Huh.
They could have met in Chicago.
They could have met at the airport hangar.
Could have met anywhere, exactly. They could have said, you know what, we'll fly into L.A. and we'll drive up the coast and we'll meet in, you know, wherever we have to meet.
And I should add,
he flew to Toronto and he went downtown. People know who Kawhi Leonard is.
People are concerned.
Into the busiest, most social area in Toronto.
Right. And people are concerned that Kawhi is maybe ticked off, that he's getting all this attention. Maybe the Raptors are going to take the brunt of it. But, like, like I was saying earlier, where the Kawhi has asked them not to leak anything, the Raptors didn't leak anything.
They didn't leak anything.
This is some people in the media that, rightly or wrongly, were tracking the MLSC plane and then follow those that got out of it. This wasn't the Raptors leaking anything. The Raptors haven't leaked anything throughout this process. And they've leaked a whole lot less than the Lakers have.
For sure.
And they're not going to start now.
No, not at this point.
You don't go to the finish line and then start leaking.
And if Kawhi's all about the game, but maybe a little bit about the business, is this amount of attention, the New Balance angle, like, it's not going to hurt him either, right? For New Balance to see this degree of attention that he's getting.
No, of course not. All right, you got to run into
the Sports
Center.
Someone's got to go to work.
All right, we'll get you back in here in a bit. Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter, is off to do a Sports Center hit.
Busy man today.
Busy, busy man. But yes, I agree with the New Balance stuff.
The New Balance angle is interesting because I don't know the relationship, the of course I don't know, but the extent of the financial commitment and relationship there.
Well,
but like if you're New Balance, I understand L.A. is more desirable than Toronto.
It's an American company, the second largest market, you're going to be on TV a lot
if you're down there. But yeah. Canada's got a lot of people in it. Like, I mean, his influence within Canada, globally, whatever it might be. And it might bother Kawhi, perhaps, to have this much attention. But as far as the business associates with him, they like how popular he is.
I'm not convinced, and I never have been, that if New Balance had a choice, they would definitely say the Lakers. Because
you're not convinced of that?
No, I'm not convinced of that. I think it makes logistical sense in some ways because it's the bigger market and they're going to be on ESPN every single night and all that kind of stuff. But Kawhi Leonard is playing second fiddle to LeBron James. He is not going to mean as much in L.A. as he will in Toronto. Like the fun guy T-shirts, the board man gets paid. All this kind of stuff is going up in Toronto
He'll meet more in the States than he will in L.A. than he would in Toronto. Right, like his influence in America would be greater in L.A.
In L.A., yes, of course. But what I'm saying is,
you think the cumulative?
In the individual market. Yeah. You're right. Like, throughout the country, New Balance would probably get a little bit more reach with Kawhi. But in terms of L.A. versus Toronto?
No. His market saturation here is way higher.
It's all Kawhi Leonard.
Nobody knows what any kind of shoe any player wears except for him.
Exactly.
No one's buying any shirts. They're buying a lot of shirts. But, like, you know, like...
If you do with the Lakers, it's Nike and LeBron.
Yeah.
It's not New Balance.
And AD.
And Anthony
Davis. Forget.
Exactly. Like, people are lining up outside of stores in Toronto to try to get a limited edition T-shirt that says "Fun Guy," right? Like it's a New Balance shirt. Who lines up to get New Balance gear? They do because of Kawhi Leonard, because of what he means to this city. L.A. has had LeBron, Kobe, Magic, you know, Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
You go down the list. Jerry West. Toronto's never had anybody of this caliber play for their team. So the marketing opportunities, but let's also be clear, New Balance is not making the decision.
No.
New Balance is not saying, we're going to determine
where you're
going to
throw
play.
A different slant on this. Attention is awful. Well, for those business partners, and I think New Balance seems to be a pretty one of his few very important ones, the attention's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. The more the merrier if you're a
what
big
brand. Wondering, what do you think would happen here? So play this out the exact same way, except Kawhi's going to his house. So he gets out of the plane, gets into the cars, chopper follows him out of the airport. Are they going to follow him to his house?
Yeah, I think they would.
You can't do that.
I think they would. Well, here's the thing.
You can't follow and invade someone's home.
I would say
you think it would happen?
I think they would follow wherever the cars were going.
Oh, my goodness.
Because no one knows where he lives.
Well, when he pulls into a residential neighborhood.
I guess then maybe you veer off, and that's the news director would have to make that decision.
I wonder what they'd do.
I don't know. Because... You know, people have been having that conversation. Should the helicopter be there and CP24 and all that? They are a news organization. News organizations do not take into consideration the feelings of who they're covering.
They're not worried about whether or not he's going to re-sign in Toronto.
No, that's not their...
They're doing a job covering the news.
That's not their priority.
I think for his own, like, personal security and safety, like, tracking him to his house would be...
I would suggest that wouldn't be a good idea.
Yes.
And I would like to believe they would know better than that. But...
You don't know.
I guess you don't.
That's why they had it down. But they also could have done this at the ACC.
Yeah.
They roll right in the bottom of the ACC in those black cars, and they're underground. They're in the building, and they take the elevators up to the offices.
Well, that is my understanding, just based on, you know, we've been on the air for all this, but people tweeting in and texting in.
Yeah.
This, I mean, is a very typical 2019 story that someone in the media tracked the flight plan from LAX to Toronto, but what tipped that off was someone spotted Masai and Bobby Webster down at this hotel in Yorkville, and then they went on Reddit or whatever, you know, or told someone, right, hey, these guys are down
message
here.
Message board, I see these guys.
Why are they here instead of L.A.? And why are they both here in suits or whatever at this hotel?
At 11 a.m.
Exactly. Let's find out if we can connect some dots here. So that, you know, that's the era we live in. That's what happens. Someone sees someone, and then they jump online, and then it becomes archived on Reddit or on Twitter or whatever, and then the ball gets
rolling. But if Kawhi wasn't going to be okay with that, they wouldn't do it there.
Exactly. He could have said,
he's
I'm not
driving
coming
the
up
bus.
Here. But come to L.A.
Or I'll come see you. I'm not going to, like, a very busy social place.
Right.
Let's do it at the Air Canada Center. Let's do it at the BioSteel at the practice court.
No, it's true, man. Like, he knows.
Or let's do it. Like, seriously, we can do it at the private when we used to fly out private charters, they have a facility there that is, you cannot get into it. It's controlled access. Mm-hmm. There are boardrooms in there. He could have parked the plane, walked 40 yards, talked to Masai in that charter hangar.
Figured out the plan.
Whatever it is. And if it's bad news, thank you very much. Shake your hand. Right back on the plane and home.
That would be like a mobster move. Like, you got to fly all the way out there, you know.
But I'm saying,
but if
it's Kawhi driving and he's like, I want to see you in your hometown to say thank you.
Yeah.
To say no. Then you could have done it right there.
You could have.
And the fact that they're not tells me they had a conversation about this.
About what the plan
was. And
they
thought this through. These are not.
Yeah. No, exactly.
These are like, bright guys.
These and Kawhi
they
Leonard.
Get it.
Is he introverted? It feels like it. You know, is he not a guy who looks or feels overly comfortable in the limelight? Yes, I mean, I think we all kind of draw the same conclusion. He's not naive. He understands his popularity in the city. This is a guy, and I said this when he showed up at the Blue Jay game, and everyone, I thought the overreaction was ridiculous, where people said, oh, don't give him a standing ovation.
Oh, that was nice.
It was great, and would you? He walked the stairs.
You're basically catching.
He's not in a private box.
You're on the field, basically.
You can't be the most popular person in the city. And a city, and it's not just popular based on people know you. People love you.
Yes.
There is nobody in Toronto.
You're not going to the Jays game unless you are completely
prepared
okay
for that.
With people. They didn't come swarm him.
No.
And come sit in
people
his,
left him alone.
Yeah, they applauded when
standing,
he walked in.
Oh, hey, it's cool.
Awesome.
There's Kawhi.
Yeah.
Standing
but they take some pictures of him with their phones on the way down.
He looked like he was having a great time. He didn't look like he was.
Grab a beer and a nacho.
It was all good.
Or his,
Darren Rovell tweeting out that I guess at least one sportsbook in Vegas changing the Raptors' odds of winning the title next year. It went from 14-1 to 6-1, just based on the news.
What's going on today?
I mean, that's Vegas. You know they're just tap dancing because they don't know what the hell.
I'm surprised they haven't pulled everything off the board.
I would, because it's such a swing.
Like if
he goes with the Lakers,
right,
and someone gets them at like 12-1.
So they if the Raps just went from 14-1, 6-1,
I got
the Lakers must have dropped from 5-1, 3-1, back
what,
to
8-1,
9.
8-1, 9-1, something
so
like that.
If you knew and you dumped a bunch of the Lakers, that would be a really good bet if he went to LA. I'm surprised they haven't taken all those off the board.
I mean, I guess you kind of want to rope people into bets because only one team can win. You know,
yeah, I guess.
You know, from that standpoint.
Volume's never a bad thing. They seem to be okay.
Yeah, and sports betting doesn't, it's not a ton of money that comes in on sports betting. But you do get degenerates who are like, I'm going to hammer something here.
Yeah.
You know, like if yesterday you were, if you're from Toronto and you're down there and you got them at 14-1, like I'll give it a shot.
Why
like,
not?
Who knows? I'm optimistic maybe Kawhi will come back. If you got them at 14-1 and he re-signs, you got to be feeling pretty good about that future bet. At least getting out of the East.
Milwaukee, Philly again?
That's what it feels like. It's Milwaukee, Philly, and the Raptors. And Boston maybe, but you know, they got a new vibe with Kyrie out and Horford out and Kemba Walker in. Probably the same cast of characters in the East.
Group before, right?
I would think so.
They like their chances returning.
How would you not?
Danny Green.
How would you
comes?
Not? Because Danny Green, you got to think, is probably following
coming.
Suit. Right?
I wonder how close. Can OG shoot?
Ananobi, I don't know if not
he can
quite.
Defend, right? Like he's athletic and he's kind of long, not quite as tall as Danny Green, but
he is.
If he could shoot. He could basically replace Danny Green.
He can't shoot like Danny Green. He's not nowhere close.
No,
to
obviously.
Shooter. But he's a guy that got lost in the shuffle that never factored in because of the injury, and he had stuff in his personal life this year. So you bring back if Kawhi resigns and Danny Green resigns, you're coming back with the exact same starting unit. You've got Van Fleet who has now found his game, had a down year last year. Didn't matter because of what he did in the playoffs. Van Vliet, Ibaka coming back, Norman Powell coming back, yeah. and a healthy OG Anunoby. That's the best 1-9 in the East. I think that's the best 1-9 in the league. I don't see another team that can match that type of depth and that type of firepower, because you got to think these guys are going to get better. Mm-hmm. Siakam, why can't he get even better next year?
Yeah.
Now that he's been through the ringer. So we'll see. We're getting closer to 7 o'clock. 7:01.
When did I say it was going to be? Yesterday I said it was going to be announced at 6. Yeah. I thought he was going to be in L.A. I thought it was 3 Pacific.
Do you think before we get off the air, there's going to be some sort of news on what's up with Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
You think so between now and 7 p.m.? I hope you're right.
That the, yeah.
Something.
He'll have left the building, and he'll either be on his way back to the airport, or there'll be rumors of a presser being scheduled for tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. I mean, something's got to give here. Like, there are odds out on who is going to break this story.
Which individual?
Yes. So I'll let me run this down real quickly. Adrian Wojnarowski's plus 125. He is the favorite. Shams Charania is plus 200.
Okay.
Mark Stein is plus 700. So a big drop off between the two heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Lowe, I don't see that happening. Zach Lowe at plus 900. Kawhi Leonard himself at plus 1800. The Lakers plus 900. The Raptors plus 1000. I guess those teams could report that they're out of the running.
Right.
Like, that's how it could go.
Right.
The Lakers, it couldn't
elimination.
The Lakers have been told they're not in the running anymore. The Clippers have been told, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see where this goes. All right, Mike Johnson's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. We're continuing to track what's up with Kawhi Leonard. Dave Poulin will join us, put a bit of a managerial spin on all this. Poulin's been in the room, you know, talking to free agents and see what he has to say about all this kind of stuff. And Marcellus Wiley, one of our favorites, who's from L.A.
I really hope the news comes that the Clippers are out before we get him.
Right. A two-team race. Yeah. Raptors or Lakers, but the Clippers are out because he is a diehard Clipper fan.
Yep.
He's been so obnoxious all year talking to him throughout the NFL season. Every week he came
Slam
up.
Slam dunk.
Kawhi's coming to the Clippers.
Yeah.
So we'll catch up with Marcellus at around 6:30. We're looking forward to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Dave Poulin will be in studio in the next hour. Marcellus Wiley, our good buddy. He is from L.A. He's a diehard Clipper fan. He's been so confident all year that Kawhi Leonard will be signing with the Clippers, and nothing is official. So we still don't know any more today than we did yesterday. We just know, we believe Kawhi Leonard is meeting with the Raptors in Toronto right now.
Have you guys retired the level of concern game? Because that might be something to check in on Marcellus Wiley about right now.
Think about what this would mean if Kawhi, if he returns to the Raptors.
Yeah.
Let's say he signs with the Raptors, which seems, you know, it's a reasonable.
Yeah. Does not seem out of the question,
point, right? The Clippers don't get anybody of significance. They missed out on Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard. They have two max slots still sitting there. They didn't fill either one of them.
They got 8 players signed. One guy, Marco Bellinelli. Gallinari.
Gallinari, yeah.
He makes like about 20-something. Everyone else makes
nothing.
Nothing by NBA terms.
The league, basically mid-level exception type players.
Just sitting on $70 million of cap space.
And they're not going to have anybody to use it right now. And the Lakers, if Kawhi decides to sign here, they've got like 4 players. So they got to fill out the rest of the roster.
I love it.
And
that.
Like 90% of the free agents have been locked in.
It's so impressive.
Like the ripple effect this is going to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's July 4th tomorrow. And the fact that if he re-signs with the only Canadian team and goes back into another season as the NBA favorites, it's going to be.
It's a legend move.
It's going to be a legendary move if it goes down.
Whatever the contract looks like, whether it's a 1-1.
Doesn't matter.
Whether it's
details
a 4.
Don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. 1 year, 5 year deal. I don't care if he doesn't start until
if it
the
comes
playoffs.
On Raptors letterhead. It's massive.
That's all that matters.
That's it.
He doesn't have to play one regular season game.
Load management until April.
It's all good. So Pooley's coming up. Dave Poulin in studio and Marcellus Wiley on what's up. What's the vibe like in L.A. with this belief that Kawhi is currently in Toronto? Mike Johnson in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.